Today is Pentecost Sunday. We heard about the events of Pentecost Sunday in our second reading today from Acts chapter 2. We've been singing about it as well. Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament. The New Testament of the Bible begins with four Gospels. You get the book of Acts kind of right there in the middle, followed by the epistles or letters. You get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, Ephesians, and all of that. It's a continuation, Acts, of the ministry of Jesus and the mission of the church through the Holy Spirit. On the one side of Acts, you've got four Gospels. On the other, letters to different churches. The book of Acts is right there in the middle. And Acts is a middle or bridge book between the life and ministry of Jesus, who ascends to the right hand of God, and the life and ministry of the church by God's word of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a bridge between Jesus, who ascends to heaven, but reaches out to the ends of the earth with the message of repentance and forgiveness of the Holy Spirit that's outpoured in Acts. And the book of Acts describes in vivid detail how the Holy Spirit then moves as that bridge, the ministry and mission of Jesus through the apostles and disciples. Today, Pentecost, our second reading from Acts, shows us the power of the Holy Spirit who connects us to Jesus Christ. From our second reading today, from Acts chapter 2, the events of Pentecost. It starts this way. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the followers, the disciples of Jesus, were gathered in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a mighty rushing wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit makes known Jesus Christ. They speak amazingly in other languages. I know how hard it is even for me to try and get back my Chinese. They do it like that. It gave them utterance. And the crowd in Jerusalem for Pentecost, who knows a little bit about the difficulties of language, were amazed. They're baffled by this power of the Spirit and the clarity. And they're amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" And did you note in Acts, some say this, "What does this mean?" Curious seekers. But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine. They must be drunk." In the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter gets up to preach for everyone to understand. "And it shall come to pass," Peter preaches, "that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord," where our reading ends today, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And Jesus is that Lord. And he is the way, the truth of salvation. The book of Acts, right? It's in the middle of the New Testament. The events of Acts stand out, if you will, if we think of middle as a way to approach today, in the middle of the past and in the middle of the future. Looking back to the past, Pentecost is actually an Old Testament celebration. The word literally means 50th. It's a celebration. It was called the Festival of Weeks. It occurred 50 days after Passover. We keep it 50 days after the Passover of Easter. It became associated with God giving his law on Mount Sinai, or God speaking his word and gathering a community of his people. It was an old festival of God speaking his word, of God gathering, of God giving life. And right in the middle, right of this old festival, right in the middle actually of Jerusalem, right in the middle of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, right in the middle of the gospel of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the epistles and the rest of the New Testament, what does the Holy Spirit do right there in the middle? Makes clear in many languages that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for some in the crowd, maybe some old timers used to the old ways and celebrations, this was all too much to take in on a regular middle festival, right? They must be drunk, crazy disciples. For others, what does this mean? I suppose if we think about it, for us who are in the middle of Jesus' return waiting and Jesus' past, his ascension into heaven, it's not that different, right, for how the message of Jesus in the Holy Spirit is heard today. For some, right, it's a waste of time. It's crazy talk about old ancient religion, no place in our modern world. For others, they're still a little curious, perhaps those who feel the crushing weight, right, of all of life, being treated like a number and a paycheck. Maybe they wonder what it all means. There's got to be something more. For all the responses we get, and for all even the responses in our hearts, we're called, we're gathered, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to make Jesus not only clear to us, but clear to everyone, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, I don't think it really made much sense to those first disciples. If you note the reading, all of a sudden they're caught up in the power of the Spirit. They have no choice in the matter. They can speak other languages, and they do. They point to Jesus, and in the middle of their lives, the Holy Spirit calls out of the Holy Spirit's power when the Holy Spirit wills, and gathers and enlightens and gives them the gift to live and tell Jesus. The middle of the old and of the new. That's where Pentecost lands. An ancient Old Testament celebration pointing to God's word. And now a celebration of the Holy Spirit. From Acts chapter 2, spoken by Peter on Pentecost, in these last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And as Peter tells the scoffers of the day, it's not wine. It's actually the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who God now pours out on the world. In the middle of the old world passing away, in the middle of the new world to come, in these last days, God is making all things new. That's how Scripture puts it. He's filling the world somehow, even in ways we don't always understand, with his Spirit. Jesus has died. The old world of sin and death is passing away. Jesus is risen. He will come again. The new heaven and the new earth are coming soon. That's how the Bible ends, with that hope. A new heaven, a new earth, the fullness of God's Spirit everywhere. And as Christians, then, we live in the middle, don't we? We live in the middle of that old world of sin and death passing away, and the hope of the life of the world to come. We live in the middle of death and resurrection. We live in the middle of grief and hope. We live in the middle of those who don't get us, might even scoff at us, and those who ask, what does this mean? We live in the middle of giving a patient account of what we believe. We live in the middle of God's work in the Spirit, living out, speaking out repentance, forgiveness in Jesus. And you know, think about the middle. You don't always see the middle when you're in it, because it's the middle. And it's often messy. And some get it, and others don't. Some find the truth. I think of the middle, right, what everyone tries to avoid. On the train, or on the plane. If you get that middle seat, no one wants the middle seat. You're jostling there for arm control. And what do you do in the middle to be a good neighbor, which is what we're called to be? You better negotiate. You better give and take. And hopefully we give a little more than we take as Christians, because people are watching and they are noting. As Christians, isn't that a good analogy to live in the middle? To be able to give Jesus, to take some abuse sometimes, to give Jesus back, to be patient, to endure. As Christians, we are between death and new life, between each other in reconciliation and forgiveness. Ourselves, aren't we? We can relate to others in that. We acknowledge Jesus for ourselves and for others. Being in the middle. There's a wonderful quote by a writer who sums up being in the middle. She says, when you're in the middle of a story, it isn't a story at all. It's kind of a confusion. It's a dark roaring, a blindness, a wreckage of shattered glass, splintered wood,
like a house in a whirlwind, or else like a boat crushed by icebergs, swept over the rapids, powerless to stop it. It's only afterwards, she says, that it becomes anything like a story at all. When you are telling it to yourself and to someone else. That's a pretty profound quote. And that sounds a lot like the experience of those first disciples of Jesus. Right there in the middle of their lives. In the middle of the book of Acts. In the middle of the New Testament. And you know, there are earthquakes in Acts. There's shipwrecks. There's storms. There's one grand adventure of the Holy Spirit making Jesus known to the world. And in Acts in the Holy Spirit, the disciples, even in the middle of it all, they tell the story of Jesus to themselves. And they tell the story of Jesus to others. And they break bread. And they have fellowship. And they tell it to Samaritans and Romans and even politicians. All so that the words of Pentecost would be realized, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we're in the middle of the story and the mission of Christianity, it can be confusing. It doesn't always make sense. I'm not sure it always should. Some turn away and ignore, others wonder and want more. I think instead of trying to figure it out or trying to make sense of it all, we have the Holy Spirit, don't we? That guides, that leads us in the middle. The Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, leads us to Jesus, others to Jesus. It's in telling this story of faith, isn't it? In articulating in ourselves what Jesus means to us, that we begin to make sense of the grandeur of God's grace. And it's in telling the story to others that we see how God is calling everyone to believe in Jesus and have life in His name. Pentecost is sometimes called the church's mission, the kickoff, you could say, or kind of like a start or even an opening day of a long baseball season. We could use that analogy. And just like Pentecost today brings together Yankees and Mets fans in one place, Pentecost brings together various people in one place. It is possible. We wait to the end as Christians. We look for the life of the world to come, sure, but we're in the middle of the story, aren't we? In the middle of our lives, in the middle of death and resurrection, and we again today pray for that Holy Spirit and receive that Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who hovered over the waters of creation, who kicked off the whole world, the opening day of it all, and breathe life into all things. The same Spirit who will raise us on the last day. The very same Spirit who now today in the middle of a worship service, in the middle of this city, kindles in us the fire of His love. That we would be open to others. That we would be open to others and open to them the way of the Lord. For all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Amen.